Isn't it good that love lifted us? Yes. I'm excited that love picked us up. Love is a perfect thing. Amen. You know, and the reason why I know that love is perfect is because God is love. And there's only one thing that could have lifted you and I up from the situations that we were in, and that is love. Amen. It's the only thing that could have gotten you out of the mess that you were in is love. I know some of y'all won't say amen because you forgot about the mess. But if you think about the mess that you were in, you know that you needed something that was perfect, something that was without flaw to pick you up and pull you out. That perfect thing was love. I'm excited because love keeps on lifting me. Now I know the song says love lifted in past tense, but I'm telling you that love is lifting each and every one of us on a daily basis. Because you're really not worthy of being here today. You're really not worthy of waking up this morning. You're really not worthy of any of the blessings that you have already received on today. But for some reason, God loved you enough to lift you. And I just think that's a wonderful thing. Y'all okay today? It's good to be in the house of the Lord, don't you think? Yeah, I'm always excited to be in the house of the Lord. I just think it's a good opportunity for us to get together, to praise his name, to love him, to show the world how much we care about God. And we just come to give him glory and honor, but also to exhort and to encourage one another. Amen. Amen. There's this song that's been on my heart. I don't even know if y'all know the song, but I know if you listen to it long enough, you'll be able to sing it. So what I decided to do today is I'm just going to sing it, and then you just catch on. Is that all right? It's a real, real simple song, and the words are simple. It just says, nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Lord. And it's a real simple song, so just follow along with me for a second, and then we'll get into the message. Is that all right? Yes, it goes like this. Oh, nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Oh, nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. And we sing, oh, oh. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Sing it again. Oh, oh, oh. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. And we sing, oh. Oh, let that rest in your soul. No, nobody like you, Lord. Nobody, nobody like you, Lord. And we sing, oh, 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 oh. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody, nobody like you, Lord. Oh, 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 I really need you, Lord. Sing that. Yes, I really need you, Lord. I really need you, Lord. And we sing, oh, 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 oh. I really need you, Lord. I really need you, Lord. I really need you, Lord. Yes, and we sing, oh, 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 oh. I really love you, Lord. I really love you, Lord. Yes, I really love you, Lord. Oh, oh, sing, oh, 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 oh. I really love you, Lord. I really love you, Lord. Yes, I really love you, Lord. Yes, and we sing, oh,
oh, oh, nobody, Lord, nobody like you, nobody, nobody like you, yes, oh, 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 nobody, nobody like you. Nobody, nobody like you. Sing it softly now. Oh, 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 nobody, nobody like you. Nobody, nobody like you, Lord. Amen.
There's more to it. We'll learn the rest later. But there is nobody like the Lord. Sometimes you ought to just sing a song that just got a few words. And because those few words can just rest on your heart. There's nobody like the Lord. And if you ever messed with anybody else other than the Lord, you know that what I said is true. There's nobody quite like the Lord. And I love it because I'm riding to work some days and I'm just riding. I'm trying to get my mind together. And I love the second verse. It just says, I really need you, Lord. I really need you. And then the third verse says, I really love you, Lord. Why do I love you? Because there's nobody like you, Lord. Turn your Bibles to Luke, the 17th chapter. 17th chapter, and we'll pick up around the 22nd verse. And we'll start from the 20th verse and go through verse 37. It says, Pharisees asked Jesus when God's kingdom was coming, and he replied, God's kingdom isn't coming with signs that are easily noticed. Nor will people say, look here it is, or there it is. Don't you see? God's kingdom is already among you. Then Jesus said to his disciple, the time will come when you will long to see one of the days of the human one, and you won't see it. People will say to you, look there or look here. Don't leave and go chasing after them. The human one will appear on his day in the same way that a flashing of lightning lights up the sky from one end to another. However, first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be during the days of the human one. People will be eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage until that day Noah entered the ark. Likewise, in the days of Lot. Wait, I'm saying until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, in the days of Lot, people were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building. But on the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. That's the way it will be on the day the human one is revealed. On that day, those on the roof whose possessions are in the house shouldn't come down to grab them. Likewise, those in the field shouldn't turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever tries to preserve their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in the same bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. The disciples asked, where, Lord? Jesus said, the vultures gather where there's a dead body. From this passage of scripture, I would like to offer you up the title, Close But Not Close Enough. Close But Not Close Enough. Now, first I want to give you some facts, and I don't know if we can put that on the screen or not, but first I want to give you some facts of the text. The first fact is there will be a time when Christians or when those who love God will long for Christ. That's what verse 22 says. First fact is that there will be a time when Christians will long for Christ. Fact number two is the coming of Christ will happen. Y'all listening to me? The coming of Christ will happen, but when it will happen is unknown. But in time, or during the time, between the time that Jesus left and the time that he comes back, verse 23 says, false prophets will speculate and there will be those who will follow them. Pretty much what he means is that people will start to say a whole bunch of stuff. They'll start to predict the day that God is coming back. They'll say, look over there he is, or look here, there he is. And he gives us a very stern warning. He says, don't follow after them. So fact number one is Christians will long for Christ. Number two is the coming of Christ is certain. He will come back, but when he'll come back is unknown. And then it says, when the day comes of judgment, God will operate and intimacy with a good person, and intimacy with a good person will not impact another person. What that means is when God comes back to judge us all, who you are close to won't matter for your soul. Y'all hear with me? The Bible in verse, 32 says, is it 32? 34 says, it says that two people will be laying in the same bed and one will be taken and the other not. What he's pretty much saying is, he's saying two folks will be really, really close to each other. It could be a husband and a wife. He said two women will be in the field working and grinding in the field together. One of them will go to glory. The other will not. Let me help you with this point. What that is saying is that what your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, what your child does, if your child is righteous, if your mother is righteous, if your sister is righteous, if your husband is righteous, if your wife is righteous, and you are not, they cannot save you. It doesn't matter how close you are. You got some real close people in your life, but on the day of judgment, when God comes back, he is going to deal with us individually. And it doesn't matter how close we are to good people, if we are not righteous ourselves, we will not see him in peace. That's a fact of the text. Y'all following me? Another fact of the text says, God will come in his own time. Don't you be looking and worrying about when he comes. Just do what he asks you to do until he comes. And when he comes, it's going to be when he wants to come, and it'll be in his own time. All right, let me tell you what that means. So the disciple says, when, Lord, or where? When are you coming back? And he says, where the body is, there will be vultures. There the vultures will be gathered together. Or it says, vultures will come where there is a dead body. So what does that mean in verse 37? They say, Lord, where or when? And he's saying to them, in due time. When do vultures come? When there's a dead body. So when the time is right, I'm coming back. That means that you won't know when I'm coming back, but when I come back, it'll be right on time. That's a good thing. Now I know that when we think about salvation, we think about the troubles that we're going through. We love to sing things like, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. But when it comes to salvation or judgment, we want to tell God when it's time to come. And people start prophesying of when God is going to come. The same thing is true in that song. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be on time. The same thing is true for when Jesus returns. He's coming right on time. Has God ever been late? If you say, yeah, that's a whole different conversation we need to have. God has never been late. There has been times in our life where you might have thought that he was late. But later on, when you see the glory that is of God, or when you see what God did and when he came on time, or what happened when he came, you know that even if you thought he was late, he showed up right on time. You know, that sometimes I pray for things. And I'll pray, and I told you all last week, ain't nothing wrong with praying for God to come right now. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But sometimes I'll pray for God to come right now, and he don't come. Or, even more likely, he doesn't come the way that I want him to come. And I can sit there and say, Lord, I asked you to come in the moment. But 2 weeks later, or 1 month later, or sometimes 2 days later, I realized that he didn't come when I asked him, but he got there right when I needed him. That's the same way judgment will be. God is going to come when it's his time. And the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Now, I find that very interesting, that we're talking about the coming of the Lord, we're talking about Abraham, we're talking about all these things, and then God or the Holy Spirit decides for one verse, in verse 32, to say something so short but so profound. It says, remember Lot's wife. Now, when I read that, threw me all the way off, because I was wondering, why should I remember Lot's wife? Why not Sarah? Why not Hannah? Why not Ruth? Why not Mary? Why at this point in time in Scripture did God ask us or direct us to remember Lot's wife? What is so special about Lot's wife? What about Lot's wife is worth remembering? Now, I know when we think about Lot's wife, we think about what? Lot, it was Sodom and Gomorrah was perishing. Lot and his wife was running away. Lot's wife what? Look back. What happens? He turned into what? A pillar of salt. So I wondered, and I said, well, God, is that what you want me to remember? Do you want me to remember that Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt? How does that impact my livelihood? How does that impact me as a Christian? And I said, well, it has to be something else about Lot's wife that we must remember, because we always remember the last thing that happened in Lot's wife's life, and we'll talk about that later. But I think there are some more things that lead up to that that we need to remember that will bless us and that will help us to understand that sometimes we can be close, but not close enough. I used to play my daddy almost every day in basketball in the summertime. Almost every day. He worked as a drug prevention counselor in the summertime at the Youth Encouragement Services. And we would open the doors for all the students in the neighborhood out in South Nashville around 10 o'clock. But we left the house most days around 7:30, 8 o'clock. It's the reason why I can't sleep in now. And my wife hates it. She wants me to stay in, but I can't because I'm used to getting up and doing stuff. But anyway, we used to get to the hobby shop, we used to call it in, every day around 8 o'clock. The kids wouldn't come until about 10. So we had about 2 hours every day. We had to do some stuff. We had to check the bathrooms, make sure everything was good. We would dust mop the floor. We would set our snacks or put water in the refrigerator, whatever it is. And then after we did that, we would play basketball. And every day for a number of years, I would play him. And every day for a number of years, I would lose. Made me mad. You know, I mean, we would get so mad, and we wouldn't just play in the morning time. All the kids would go home at 4 or 5 o'clock at night. We'd do the same thing. We wouldn't leave at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. We'd play again for another hour, hour and a half. And we'd play 5, 6, 7, 8 games. And I would lose 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And it would run me so hot. And I would say things to him. I'd be like, I almost beat you. And he would make me angry. He would say, almost ain't never made it. Almost never happened. Or he would say things like, close, but no cigar. He would say things to me that made me know, you did almost beat me, but you didn't beat me. And so what that means is, whether I lost 15 to nothing or I lost 15 to 14, I still lost. I was close, but I wasn't close enough. Y'all follow me? That happens all the time. Right, so I'm trying to figure out, well, what does that mean? I believe if we look at Lot's wife, we will see that she was close, but not close enough. So what are we remembering when we look at Lot's wife? Let's look at Lot. We have to remember Lot's wife's religious privileges. Go to, you look at, I think it's Genesis 8 and 3, Genesis 12, and you see that Lot's wife shared the experiences of Abraham. In Genesis 12, the Bible says that Abraham pitched a tent. And she was there. She was there when God told Abraham to move about. Y'all follow me? She was watching in Abraham 12, 5 and 8. She was watching Abraham's prayer life. So that means Lot's wife was there when Abraham was giving the instruction to leave. She was there when Abraham built an altar. She watched as Abraham prayed to God. She watched as Abraham was blessed of God. She was close. You say, well, why do you say she was close? Because the Bible says that Abraham and Sarah, Lot and all of his possessions, right? That now when you say, so that means if Lot was there, so was his wife. And you say, well, how do you know that? I know that in many parts of the text, you don't see the woman's name. But we know just by what takes place in the context that she had to be present. So somebody go to Genesis 12, verse 5 and 8, and see what that thing says. Read that for me. Genesis 12, verse 5 through 8.
And Abram took Sarah,
yeah,
his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came.
Yeah.
And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem. Unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord.
Stop. Stop there. So he said, so but the Bible says that Abraham, Sarah, Lot, and all of his possessions were told to move. And then when they got there, the Bible says that the Lord appeared to Abraham. Y'all hear me with me today? Y'all look like y'all tired. Wait a minute. The Lord appeared to Abraham, and he said to Abraham, what did he say there? He said, I give this land to you and your descendants. Who are his descendants? Lot. Who else went with Lot? His wife. And then the Bible says, so Abraham built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to them. So that means if Abraham was with Sarah and Sarah was Lot and Lot and all his possessions, that means Abraham, Sarah, Lot, and his wife heard the Lord talk to Abraham. And then they were also there when Abraham built the altar. Y'all follow me? So Lot's wife has some religious privileges. Could you imagine that, for her to be able to see or hear what the Lord said to Abraham? Ain't that amazing that she was right there amongst Abraham when he was blessed? So she has some real religious privileges. So when the Bible says, remember Lot's wife, I think they're telling us to remember all of Lot's wife. All right? And then it says in chapter 13, somebody go to
13:89.
Yeah.
And saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere.
Yeah.
Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt.
Yeah.
Moved toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan.
Stop right there. So Abraham told Lot, I'm not fighting with you. God had already told me he was going to bless me. Take whatever you want to take. And Lot looked around and did what? Took the best of the best. Y'all follow me? Who was with Lot? His wife. She got a chance to see the generosity of God. Her religious privileges, because of Abraham, because of the way God was going to bless Abraham, he was able to bless Lot and his wife, and Lot's wife was there to see it all. Y'all follow me here? She had a religious husband. If you look at 2 Peter 2, 7, and 8, wasn't somebody get there? 2 Peter 2, 7, 8. The Bible decided to tell us a little bit about Lot. One of the brothers get there. 2 Peter 2, 7, and 8.
And delivered righteous Lot.
Yeah.
For that righteous man dwelling among them, tormented
look at that. So about six times, actually it was three, but three times the Bible says, and the what? Righteous man, Lot. Now, if Rod was righteous and Lot had a wife, that means that she was married to a righteous man. That means that Lot's wife had a lot of religious privileges. What I want y'all, when the Bible says, Luke 17:32, it says, remember Lot's wife, remember her religious privileges. All right? Like Lot's wife, we got privileges. Churches on every corner. You know, if you look through the yellow page, we don't have the yellow page anymore, but if you Google Church of Christ in Nashville, there's over 100 Churches of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee. That's almost the equivalent to a Church of Christ on every corner. That's a religious privilege. Not only we got gospel music on all of our devices. If you want to hear a gospel song, just type it in. You got access to God. And we got Bibles everywhere. Brother Jones gives out Bibles all the time. We have resources everywhere we look. So that means that like Lot's wife, we have religious privileges. Now you say, no, that's just the way of life. No, it's not. How do I know it's not the way of life? Because everybody doesn't have what you have. We walk up in this building, sit in comfy seats, have nice air condition, hear a message, sing, wear our pretty clothes. If we don't have it, somebody gives it to us. We got all these things. And if we decide not to come to Hart Street, we can drive 2 miles up the road and go to another church. 2 miles up the road from there, go to another church. We got a lot of religious privileges. Now, I believe that our religious privileges, this is not in my lesson, but I might as well say it since I'm driving down the street. I believe our religious privileges should cause us to do some better things. That's what I believe. I don't believe that God gives us all of these religious privileges just for us to hang around, just for us to kick it. God gives us these religious privileges. I'm believing because he expects us to do something with it. Sri Lanka Brother Jones used to say, God sends blessings to those he can send blessings through. So I believe that God gives us some opportunities and some privileges because God wants us to do something with those privileges. We got the Bible on our phone and still won't read it. Y'all look at me like I'm funny. Well, I'm telling you the truth. You got the Bible on your phone, and when you open your phone up, the first thing you think to do is text, look at Instagram, Facebook, or make a phone call. You scan past all your Bible apps to get to the one that you want to use. I know I'm right now because y'all quiet. All right, but Lot's wife had religious privileges. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking about myself. I have to really watch this. When I wake up in the morning, I don't even need an alarm. I wake up every day around 5:30. My body just won't let me sleep any longer. And the first thing I do, I wake up, I pop my neck, start stretching. Thank you, Lord. I grab my phone. And when I grab my phone, I go home, start moving towards the day. And then I might be getting too personal, I usually go to the bathroom. Hey, y'all, I'm just telling you. And when I get in the bathroom, I open that phone up. And if I'm not careful, the first thing I open up when I open my phone is Instagram. I want to see what everybody was doing while I was asleep. Come on, y'all, I'm trying to help you. I have to start asking myself, boy, why is the first thing you let enter into your mind when you wake up is Instagram, and you got to pass through your Bible app to get to the pictures on Instagram? I'm not using my religious privileges. What else do we remember about Lot's wife? Let us remember that Lot was prayed for by a religious and a faithful and a righteous relative. Abraham undoubtedly prayed for her and Lot many times. How you know he prayed for them? Y'all, you know what Genesis 18 talks about, right? Genesis 18, Abraham asks and goes to God a number of times asking him to save what? Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I believe Abraham really wanted to save Sodom and Gomorrah. But because I know that Abraham was a man and that he had relatives there, I know that deep on Abraham's heart was not just the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but also who was there. Abraham was praying for the whole city, but I know somewhere in his mind he was saying, because my nephew and them over there. Y'all, Abraham wanted all of Sodom and Gomorrah to be saved, but I know in his heart he was saying, Lord, save Sodom and Gomorrah. I need you to save it. And the reason why I need you to save it is because Lot and all his family over there. It's the same thing when I pray. When I pray for my daughter's school, I say, Lord, keep Innsworth safe today. Lord, pray that everybody learns. Lord, pray. And I can give you all of these blanket prayers. But in my mind, when I'm praying about her school, the first thing that comes to my mind is her. I'm praying for my daughter, and I'm hoping that God will take care of my daughter, and as a result, take care of all the rest of y'all too. But what I really, let me tell you, I'm going to be honest, this might be a little selfish, but what I'm asking God, if he don't take care of nobody else, take care of her. Come on, y'all. That's what Lot was saying. He said, Lord, take care of all of Sodom and Gomorrah. Please don't let them, Lord, keep them. Don't destroy the city. But what he was saying, and we find that out later on in his prayer, he's saying, Lord, if you're going to save anybody in Sodom and Gomorrah, save Lot and his people. She benefited from the prayers. The angels came to Sodom to look over her house. Y'all remember what was going on? Joker came to the house, and they said, knocked on Lot's door, and they said, hey, come on out of there. It was men asking for Lot's son-in-law. They came to get involved in homosexual activities. And the angel stopped all of that. Why do you think that angel was there? Abraham prayed. She benefited from that. Those prayers were potentially her deliverance. Let me help you here. There are some people that are praying for you. And the result of their prayers, not yours. Y'all listen to this. The result of their prayers, not yours, are what is saving you and giving you a chance to be delivered. I'm convinced that the only reason why God has not taken me away from here right now is because somebody more righteous than I have been praying for me. I know it. I know it. Because I've seen some people that in the same situations I am not make it out. And I ask myself, Lord, why did you do that? Somebody else, not me. Somebody else was praying for me. Somebody who had God's ear at that time said, Lord, save that old knotty-haired boy Darwin. Let him through. Now, I'm telling you, some of the reason why you here today is because somebody else been praying for you. You better ask somebody. That's what the kids say. You better ask somebody. You got people praying for you, my mama, my daddy, my wife, your husband, the church. I hope y'all praying for me. I need it. Lot's wife benefited from the prayers of a righteous man. Remember that. So you remember that she had the privilege. You remember that she was prayed for. But this is the part that we always remember. She perished. Lot's wife had everything she needed to be able to be saved. She had the privilege. She saw firsthand what God was doing with Abraham. She was blessed both tangibly and intangibly because of Abraham. She had the privilege. She should have died with all of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham kept the Lord away from her. But what happened is her lot became those things that she received on the benefits of a righteous man's prayer. Lot's wife's treasures became the most important thing to her. Listen to this. Lot's wife received the blessings that she received because God was blessing Abraham, and because Abraham was righteous, he let Lot choose whatever he wanted to do. But what happened is that Lot's wife took the blessing. She understood and took the blessing of God, but she did not build a relationship with God. So what ends up happening is those things that God gave her as a blessing end up becoming a distraction. And when time came, she chose those things that God gave her over God. I know y'all saying, what? Yes. Lot's wife wasn't blessed because of her. She was blessed because God promised Abraham some stuff. And then Abraham blessed Lot and his wife based on the blessing that God gave him. So that means she got the best of the best because she was close to God's man. And then what ended up happening is the thing that God gave her was the things that she loved more than him himself. Remember that, because that's the same thing that happens to us. Lot's wife had things and she just couldn't let go. She just couldn't let go. She said, my husband, I don't know if she said this, but I'm just thinking it's probably what she was saying. No, I don't want y'all to say I added to the Bible. I ain't adding. I'm just making the picture plain for you. The Bible said run. Lot's wife started running. And she said, oh, Lord, my husband picked the prettiest land. He got the land that was well irrigated. My husband got all the things that we needed. Why in the world are we letting go of these things? Oh, I got an all brick house, Lord. I got 75-inch TV. My car don't need no oil change. It's got full of gas. Oh, I just bought me a new pair of Jordans. The church ain't even seen that dress I got yet. Oh, Lord, that's what was happening. And then what did she do? She couldn't let it go. So she turned around. And when she looked back, she lost it. But what did looking back really tell? It revealed something. It revealed that she was always disobedient. It revealed that she never believed. It revealed that she had a bondage to the things of the world. What does that mean? She was close, but not close enough. She was close. She saw it all, had it all, had the chance to be it all. She was close to it, but she wasn't close enough. Y'all, some of us just like that. We up in this thing. Just like my kids say, we up in this thing. We up in this thing all the time. Sitting next to righteous people, listen to what righteous people say. Repeating the things that righteous people say, and we say it just like we righteous. And we can fool each other. And we say we close. We ain't close enough. See, this world, y'all, is doomed. Listen, this is the invitation here. The world is doomed. Somebody go to 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But Jones, get that for me. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Yeah, this world, I'm going to tell y'all, this world is in trouble. And I'm telling you, being close ain't going to be enough. You better be in there. What does it say, 2 Timothy 3:1-5, Brother Jones?
But know this.
Know what?
That in the last days, perilous times will come.
Oh, yeah.
For men will be lovers of themselves.
Yeah.
Lovers of money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disobedient to parents.
Yeah.
Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving.
Yeah.
Slanderers.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to this. What does that sound like? Today. Somebody said, well, how you know we're on the last days? Because all the characteristics align. We said, what does the last day mean? God coming tomorrow? No. I already told you, I don't know when he's coming. But I know we're in the days when he's going to come. Is that next week? I don't know. If that's next year, I don't know. 100 years from now, I don't know. But I know he can come anytime now. Why? Because the prophecy is aligned. God can come now, tomorrow, next year, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 1,000 years from now. But no, he's coming. He can come anytime. How do I know he can come anytime? Because the Bible says in the last days, things going to look exactly like they look now. I don't know if today the last day, but I know it's all set up for him to come back. He come back whenever he wants to. It's already aligned. See, let me tell you, I'm gonna help you. I always knew when my daddy was coming home. How did I know? Certain time of day, what was coming on the TV, right? What the sun looked outside, where mama was on dinner. See, I knew when the Cosby Show was coming on, when mama was just about finished with dinner, when I had already got finished with the majority of my homework, but not all of it, because I never was a person that just got finished. I don't know why. When I got through with just the majority of my homework, and then I had something else that really let me know. I had this gut feeling, and this gut feeling let me know it was something that I need to do before daddy got back. You know, when maybe I was gonna take out the trash, clean the bathroom, but I could almost count it to the minute when he was coming home. Well, how'd you do that, Darwin? Everything was aligned. Show went off, dinner almost ready, stomach started to wonder what you gotta do next, homework ain't finished. What that mean? He coming. Yeah, now some days he didn't come when I thought he was coming, because it was something else that took place I wasn't aware of. Being at work, traffic was too bad. Had to go to church. Y'all know what I'm saying? But I knew when it was aligned that he was coming. What am I trying to tell you? When these things line up, that means that we are in the last days. If we're in the last days, that means that any time now, God can come. And the question is, are you going to be close, but not close enough? Yeah, since all these things ought to be destroyed in this way, this is 2 Peter 3:11, since all these things ought to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? What he's saying is, this thing is about to go south. Nah, he ain't saying that. He's saying, this thing has already gone south. Stuff already messing up. And since all of this stuff is messing up, what should you be doing? What should your conduct be? You know it's happening and it's happening soon. What should your conduct be since you know that the world is going to be destroyed? How should you be acting? Are you playing the game? Are you close, but not close enough? Are you ready for the Lord's return? If you're not, get ready. Temptation said, get ready, because here I come. Yeah, get ready. He coming. Turn away from things that you like more than those things that's going to go bye-bye. Turn to eternal things. Look for eternal blessings. Get ready. He coming. Don't be close, but not close enough. Please, because I know God is gracious, and I know God is merciful, but God is also honest, and God is also vengeful, and God will do exactly what he said. I know he will. How do I know? He's always done it. If we were in law and we were talking about a degree or we were talking about a court case, we would say the preponderance of evidence proves that it's true. We got all kind of evidence that God is gracious. Amen. Amen. We got all kind of evidence that God is merciful. Amen. Amen. We got all kind of evidence that God takes care of his people. Amen. Amen. Then that mean we all got all kind of God evidence that God coming back just like he said he would. Amen. Amen. We don't know nothing that God said he was going to do that he didn't do. So why do you think he's going to change his mind in the last days? He coming back. Don't be close and not come close enough. You want to remember something? Remember Lot's wife. Because if you can be around it all day long you could be around it and not be a part of it. Little boy, yesterday we were playing, and he was the manager of the football team. And we were sitting there, and we had a game last night, and the team was on the field, and they looked out, and they said, Coach, what defense? And the manager yelled out, Georgia. I looked and I was thinking, boy, what is you talking about? And before he can get out his mouth good, the coach said, Georgia. And I looked and I said, goodness gracious, the boy know the defense. But then I thought about it, I said, but he don't have no uniform on. He don't have no pads. He's not going to run any other plays. How in the world did he know the defense? He been in all the practices. He been watching the defense. He been getting the water at timeouts. He been in all the huddles. He was doing all the things that the team was doing, but he wasn't on the team. He close. Some of us just like that. We come to practice, we watch. Don't engage, but we watch. We know all the plays. For us, that's scripture. You throw a problem out, we can give you scripture right and left. Lord said. Y'all know how you do. I was young and now I'm old and I've never said it right. You don't believe that. You know it, but you're not living it. How do I know you know it and you're not living it? Because your actions should speak so loud that I can't hear what you say. If you're not doing it, you don't believe it. Remember Lot's wife. God will come back. And the thing about it is, he's coming back for the people that he loves. He's coming back for his children. And there's going to be a lot of people that say they God's child. But he ain't coming back for you. You're going to be real close to somebody. The Bible says laying in the same bed. One of y'all going to make it, the other one ain't. Working in the same field. One gonna make it, one ain't. See, God knows his children. Even if other people say they're his children, they ain't his children. He knows exactly who they are. Last point I give you, then I'll tell you the truth. And then I'll let you go. There's kids all around this world. They've been in the education for over 30 years. Working in the church and youth ministry, over 30 years. Doing a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, 40 years in youth ministry. All this type of stuff has happened. There are people that will walk up to me, hug my daddy and say, that's my daddy. I don't worry. No, it ain't. He might love you. He might have taken care of you. Helped you when you was down. But the only two kids he got is me and Dominique. You might be close to him. But you ain't his child. Come on, y'all not hearing me. Don't be close and not close enough. Let God help you. Do something about your life. Live the way that he asked you to live so that you will be able to see him in peace. Don't start running towards deliverance and turn back and be a pillar of salt. See, Lot's wife tried. She started running, but she didn't finish. Keep running towards God. Let him use you. Stand up on your feet now. You get on your feet. Stand up on your feet. The good thing is that God sent somebody here to get you. Because the Bible, the truth of the matter is that you can't get close enough without Jesus. You can always be a guilty distance away from God unless you accept Jesus. How do you accept Jesus? Hear the word. Believe that he's the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess the sweetest name on earth. What name is that? Jesus. And once you confess that sweet name, go on down in baptism and arise to live a life that's pleasing and acceptable to God. And you might say, well, Lord, you know, bro Mason, I did that, but you know, I think I'm more like Lot's wife than I am. You like Lot, or I am. I might be more unrighteous than righteous. I might have too much of a connection to the things of this world. Well, come on down and get that fixed. Amen. God gave you time. You still on the side of life where grace and mercy are available. Amen. You better tap into it. Amen. Ain't no need for you to be hungry. There's a buffet out here. It's a buffet of grace and mercy. Get in line. Put it on your plate. Eat it up while you can. Because eventually it won't be available to you. You can do that. You can do it right now as we sing. All I keep falling in love with him.